physically? In what ways she's an ageless wonder?
Let's see. Bioidenticals are a natural substance. That's from page 6. This script, we're talking about this. Suzanne Somers, and it's quoted here, Somers at 60, an ageless wonder. This is from her new book.
Is this from an actual article, or is this one of those articles that U.S. Because USA Today, you got to be really careful, because they run a lot of those articles into the top of the page in tiny little advertisements.
Oh, I see. The name of her book is Ageless.
Okay.
Young people don't get sick because they haven't been alive long enough.
Suzanne Somers is not a doctor, by the way. It's best not to take any medical advice.
It says she certainly looks ageless on the cover of new book.
She certainly looks ageless in this airbrushed 1-inch by 1-inch black and white photograph that we're putting in the paper that makes it impossible to actually analyze what she looks like in real life.
She is not looking good, I can tell you.
Really?
Oh, yeah. She looks like a monster woman. She's all, like, stressed out and wrinkly.
That's fantastic.
Did you see her at that horror house when you were...
No,
I was just going to say...
Who's playing Suzanne Somers?
I was... damn you, Tim Riley. Going in my head and stole my jokes. I was just going to make that observation.
And it's only Monday.
coming to House of Midnight. Cameron Diaz in high definition. Yeah. Good times. All right. Well, it's like that guy, we were talking years ago now, when Britney Spears, I forget why she was even here. Was she performing?
I doubt it.
No, not like recently, but there was this, a couple years ago, we had some guy that ran into Britney Spears in Northwest 23rd. He stalked it, not stalked, because that would be wrong and illegal, not a thing that we could advocate or condone. We had some listener track down Britney Spears when she was in town. It must have been when she was touring for that... whatever, that record where she was in green and had the snake all over her. Well, whatever. But we had some guy that found her at a restaurant on 23rd, and he said it was just like a million miles of bad road. There's all kinds of bad... All right, there you go. In any event, hello, it's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. It's 2 minutes and 28 seconds after the hour of 11, and it's the month of October in the year of our Lord, 2006. Thank you for coming along, making a part of your listening day. It's 503-733-2970, 503-733-2970. And yes, before anybody else brings it up, let me address what everybody's talking about. McRib is back. And I don't mean back like in the way that we normally say McRib is back, which is just that we're talking about something and we feel the best way to convey our excitement over whether it is something exciting or not is just to imitate Jack Osborne talking about McDonald's. I mean actual McRib is back, baby. I got like 100 people sent me a thing about this morning. So there you go. Prepare to be dazzled and amazed by the taste of McRib, which again... He's back, just so you know. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It is rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com here on Monday. Thank you for coming by and welcome to Day 12. All right. Well, let me set this all over here. And we're just going to take a moment here while I finish this final cup of coffee. Then we'll proceed forward with this program as only we can. One moment, please.
There we go.
All right. What is it that Suzanne Somers is selling?
A book entitled Ageless.
Okay. Whatever you say.
She must have started on it about 10 years ago.
I like if you just hang around long enough, you're allowed to just crown yourself an expert on anything. Mm-hmm. We should just get together and create our own fitness book here. Just our own book on how to live and how to live exuberantly and look young. It's like, what's her name? God, not Jenny Lee Harrison. God, who is the other one? There's Suzanne Somers, there's Jenny Lee Harrison, and then it was, whatever. The one that's not Jenny Lee Harrison, who was doing the Sobakawa pillow with the guy a couple years ago. And it was like fitness and spine expert in Jenny Lee Harrison. Jenny Lee Harrison, whose entire exposure to the American public came from about a year and a half of Three's Company episodes. Like in 1981, after most of America had quit watching the television series. And by the way... That's going to be one of those things that's going to be... This is a good time, speaking of... we were just following the Jim Cramer show here. That's a thing that you want to be buying stock in right now, says Rick Emerson, who is not a stock expert in any way. You ought to be buying stock in plastic surgery, because the rise of HD television, the fact that everybody's going to be able to see what you actually look like, not what the makeup person makes you look like, there's going to be a big call for people to go in and get a good smoothing on their faces before you... I don't think we've ever done, like, a definitive listing of what people look like. What people look like in high definition. You just missed, by the way, Tim. Tim holding up a large picture of Barry Manilow in today's paper and pointing at it.
I watched his biography the other night.
Yeah.
And they did tell one personal thing about him. The same old one line.
Bless you.
The beagle named Bagel, which must be like 40 years old by now, if it's the same dog.
Yeah, you know.
Named Bagel.
Was he claiming that the dog was still alive?
It showed him talking about his beagle named Bagel and a picture of him holding Beagle. The Beagle.
Best show ever. Now, here's how I know that dog is dead a long time. Is that as I've said before in this program, I own Barry Manilow's autobiography, Sweet Life, Adventures on the Way to Paradise. And that came out like 30 years ago, and he was talking about Bagel the Beagle at that point. At the same time that he was talking about living in this plush house in the Hollywood Hills with a very mannish-looking longtime female companion of his, which there were no photographs of them touching each other or kissing, engaging in any sort of intimate touching at all.
I did see one picture of Barry Manilow's home life, and he was sitting there reading a book entitled Barry Manilow.
That's fantastic. Uh-huh. I love that guy. You know, he's coming to the Rose Garden.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, there's a big...
The Theater of the Clouds or the Rose Garden?
I think it's right. You would be surprised.
Al Gore's Theater of the Clouds.
You would be the Al Gore commemorative stage. You would be surprised at the kind of audience that Barry Manilow can pull. You know, his last
two
albums.
Why was the Neil Diamond concert, and that was completely packed out?
See, but Neil Diamond's got a little bit of a cachet with the kids that Barry Manilow doesn't have, I think. I think Barry Manilow's got to be a little peeved by that. I mean, I think that's what keeps him out there. I think he's filled with a blinding, seething, white-hot, bitter rage about Neil Diamond, because Neil Diamond has somehow got the... Like, Neil Diamond came off with all of the cool and all of the hip, and Barry Manilow's just stuck with all the kitsch. Just kitsch and endless aging drag queens who come to see him. But, and like 60-year-old housewives. 60-year-old housewives and their equally corpulent daughters who sit in the front row and throw oversized panties at him, which is all kinds of disturbing. No, there was a big thing in the A&E this weekend, and we're totally off track now, like 7 minutes in, but there was a big thing in the A&E this weekend that Barry Manilow is coming to town. Now, that's why I thought you were holding up the picture of Barry Manilow. I thought you were prepared to revel in the magic of the man when he comes here.
And I was just thinking that. I watched that show on Saturday night. About his life and times.
It's because he's out on another tour right now. That's why they're playing that, because he had that record. It is inconceivable, really, but yet true, in 2006 that Barry Manilow has had now two number one albums in a row. Mm-hmm. Because he had that best songs of the 50s or whatever. And the amazing thing about Barry Manilow, as much as I do respect that guy as a showman, as a performer, he is just some sort of... He's like a musical Tabasco sauce, by which I mean that, do you ever notice with Tabasco sauce? Tabasco sauce is like ketchup. It's one of the most insulting things to a chef that you can put on food, because it doesn't complement the flavor of a food. What it's meant to do is to cover up the flavor of a food. That's what ketchup is. If you put ketchup on something, it's because you don't want to taste whatever. It's because you live in the Appalachians, you're eating pickled pig snout, and you figure that the best way to do that is just to dump a bunch of Tabasco sauce on it. That's what Barry Manilow is like, because no matter what he performs, no matter what he does, it just comes out sounding like Barry Manilow. He's like one of those... Barry Manilow is like one, and I can't believe I'm spending this much time talking about Barry Manilow, but he is like one of those Play-Doh extruders. Do you know what I mean? Where, like, you put the can of Play-Doh in and you shove down the handle, and then, like, it shoots out like a star-shaped thing of Play-Doh on the other end. That's what Barry Manilow is. It's all equal consistency. It all has an, you know, equal feel, and it's all exactly the same. So there you go. He's sort of a spray cheese in that way. But he's got two number one albums.
Yeah.
Because he did exactly what everybody, we all sort of cynically suggested he would do. He had that number one hit songs of the 50s record, which he then followed up with, bam, hit songs of the 60s. Which is as far as he can logically take it, because if he takes it any further, he's just going to end up covering his own material. Anyway, the long and the short of it is that Barry Manilow is going to be here. A show not to be missed. It's 503-733-2970. Scotty J, pleased to be getting Barry Manilow on the program here. And I know you can do it. Here's why I know you can do it. It's not because we're all that. It's because there is now no one left in town that would conceivably interview Barry Manilow for anything. There's no. That's the only good... The only good thing about all of this consolidation and automation, there's nobody left. That's why we're getting like the Joshua Jacksons and so forth as world, because there are no more live announcers in the studios left to interview anybody.
And we're like the youngest people left.
It's all...
Not that we're being eager. We're telling the truth here, chronologically.
It really... It's all just voice tracking and Tom Parker. That's all that's left.
Or people, you know, how they talked up records in 1975.
Just computer programs and Bob Miller. Anywho, so there you go.
I saw him on a picture of him and Sherry selling some CDs, so I guess...
Bob Miller?
That's Barry Manilow's competition now.
Yeah.
Because I went for my annual Halloween at Sherry's dinner.
Live in large, Jim Riley. Moving on. So there you go, Scotty. That's your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to recruit, find Barry Manilow, bring him on the front. And, you know, the irony is that I would have lots to talk to that guy about. I know things about him. I know stuff about that guy's career that he's probably forgotten by now. So there you go. It was in the A&E right next to the big article about that they run every year about the Rocky Horror Picture Show. It's 503-733-2970. Let me find our sounder here. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson radio program.
Postman is the person in your neighborhood.
Our good friend, Mailman Chris. Hello, sir.
How are you?
How are you, brother man? What's going on in your life?
Oh, well, it's Monday, so...
Well, that's the spirit. There you go. All right. So here's what we're going to get to today. We have lots of things on tap for today. We're going to talk to Clyde Lewis. He's got some...
We haven't seen him since Friday.
Yeah, he was talking about something on Friday. He was pimping some Halloween thing, but I was busy being distracted by the fact that he was promoting a top five, which he then failed to bring in, and the fact that that he just is more sort of smelled of cheap gin. So, in any event, so we'll have Clyde on today. He'll do news at Ground Zero because Halloween really is the most magical time of the year when you're Clyde, because it's every day is sort of Clyde. Every day is sort of Halloween when you're in Clyde's head, anyway. So we have that coming up today. We'll find out what happens when you don't adequately measure the length of your bungee jumping cord and then you leap from something high. Peter Carlin will be here from the Oregonian. A white trash icon becomes endangered. We're going to play you the best song you'll hear all week. And Nicole Richie's shameless attention whoring continues as she refuses to just die. So there you go. Oh, plus we have CNN radio correspondents Bob Costantini and Jim Roop. Plus Tim Riley, do we have watchers today of any kind?
Oh, I'm sure we do. We have Darwin watch, we have a Hick watch.
Oh, perhaps a double Hick watch. The Hick watch is really disturbing. I got to tell you right now, Tim and I actually talked about it for the show today, and we kind of went back and forth on whether or not we even wanted to read it. Mm-hmm. But really, what the deciding factor was that it was not only in Alabama, but it took place in a trailer park.
A trailer park and someone's mama. So we have Alabama, a teenager, a trailer park, and his mama.
And an unholy love between the two. Not so much a love as a raping.
We just read these things. We are the messengers.
We're just the conduit. We're just passing. We're just sort of an informational aqueduct.
Even Wolf Blitzer would be reading this.
It really is.
The opportunity to do so.
Really, it's true.
All right, there you go, my friend. That's what we got today.
So I got Clyde Lewis, what happens when you don't measure your bungee cord, Peter Carlin, endangered white trash icon, Nicole Richie, best song you'll hear this week, Bob Costantini, Jim Roop, a Darwin watch, and a double hit.
That's what I got, my friend. That's what we were going to do.
Okay, I just want to let you know about something. I did see an advertisement tonight and tomorrow night, and I think it's only at Lloyd Center.
This can only end in something good, yes?
Lloyd Center Cinemas, they're doing the original Halloween.
Oh, really?
The original, Halloween 1, John Carpenter, blah,
fantastic.
Blah, blah. And it's I think it's the DVD version, so it's got, like, all the interviews beforehand, never-before-seen footage, something like that.
Is this, let me ask you this, is it the theater at the Lloyd, like, inside the mall, or the one across the street on Multnomah?
It's the one, generally, they show stuff across the street. This is where I went last week to see Kiss, the 76.
Which I meant to see, and then I did. Here's how badly I suck recently. I didn't see the Kiss thing, the Cobo Hall thing, and I didn't see Nightmare Before Christmas, the 3D, which Oregon Live, by the way, their website, which is typically where I go to get my movie information, they're claiming that it's no longer showing, that the Tim Burton thing is gone now. Did I miss it?
I don't think so. I think Bridgeport's still playing it, but you have to call them, and believe it or not, I don't have the number.
God, is there anything more frustrating than calling the published in the general information number for a movie theater? When is the last time anybody, boy, I tell you, when the revolution comes, there's some people that are going to be up against the wall. The people who run movie theaters, is it so hard to just have somebody sit there, $5 an hour, answer the phone, and tell me? Because it's not even, it's always that you need to ask a question. Like, when does the movie actually start? Or is there parking? Or is this the theater inside the mall or across, or is there some sort of a special feature with this, or I have a pass, will it be honored when I get there? You call the movie theater direct number, and it's like there is no greeting, there is no pre-recorded phone tree that is longer than that at a movie theater. They hate you, and they know that they don't need to take your calls because you'll eventually just show up there anyway. The whole thing is just goddamn maddening.
Here in Portland, they got rid of the one that used to be for the inside line. They got rid of that. Now you have to call Fandango.
Oh, fantastic. Great. And I have to talk to a sock or whatever that thing is.
Yeah.
Yeah, we go clubbing.
I think it's a paper bag.
And I also wanted to tell you, we talked about this a couple weeks ago. The Nightmare Before Christmas soundtrack came out last week.
Yeah.
I picked it up.
Oh, that's right. That's the one that's it's got like Marilyn Manson and My Chemical Romance and a bunch of people like covering the Nightmare Before Christmas music.
Yeah, it's a two-disc set. The first disc is the same as the original. It's the original soundtrack. But the second disc has like Fall Out Boy, Panic at the Disc, Marilyn Manson, Fiona Apple.
Excellent.
Very excellent. If I can, maybe I'll see if I can shoot you an MP3.
I wouldn't know anything
Halloween
about that.
Tomorrow.
I wouldn't know anything. I wouldn't know anything about you making illegal copies of that. That's something I can't advocate. The Rick Emerson
I'll look on their website. Maybe they offer that on the Disney website.
Maybe they do. All right. Thank you, sir.
Talk to you, sir.
All right, there you go. There's Mailman Chris, ladies and gentlemen. All right. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Joined today's Are We Always by the lovely, and I'm guessing ever so slightly groggy, Sarah X. Dillon. How are you?
I am. I got like 12 hours of sleep last night. So
too much sleep.
Too much sleep
is bad.
That's what it is.
Very bad.
Well, because it's daylight savings time, too, which is, and we were talking
an
about
extra hour
last week, which is great for like a week until your body sort of readjusts itself. Because it's like you've had an extra hour of sleep or whatever. But I'm like, oh. Now, look, I know that we're on the radio, but I got to tell you, turn that way a second. Now, turn to the left. Turn to the left. You got a whole bunch of tangle on the back of your head.
I know. I've been trying to work it out because I was
really
wearing a wig
like
this weekend.
A badger or something.
It's just right here. I just have one dreadlock.
Okay.
I can't get my brush through.
Now, look, we have this kind of relationship where I can be honest about these things.
It's not that it's dirty. It's just it gets really tangled. I had it in a ponytail all weekend in my Wonder Woman wig.
No need to be offensive. I'm just making... Rick Emerson's just trying to help. I would suggest
you're
maybe...
You're jealous of my thick, flowing, long hair.
Yes, it is true. Maybe just look at people straight on for most of the day. If you have to point at something, just sort of move your hand, but try to keep your head looking straight forward. Because I was talking about...
I actually had my hair cut off when I was younger because it was too tangled that I couldn't brush it, so I just cut it all off.
Your mother was like Joan Crawford.
this is how lame and great this show is. You were going to go the Joan Crawford way. I was going to go the flowers in the attic way, where the grandmother comes in and puts boiling tar on her head. Yes,
get
I read flowers in the attic. So get off my back about it. Yes. Tim and I were both just going to reference a bunch of aging, bitter old crone-oriented pieces of gothic fiction, though. In any event, I was talking about Friday being my last day with the hat. Friday was going to be the day of Rick's great hair.
No, I wasn't
going to
ask you. If you're wearing the hat, it's obviously for a reason. I don't
want to
see it.
No. Well, you know, can I tell you this, too, that I had the hair, you know, the medical hair restoration done a couple weeks ago. And, of course, for the first week or two after that, you're walking real lightly because the last thing you want to do is, like, fall off your bike and whack your head on a signpost or something. Because then your brain's just going to fall out. Not that that happened, and it didn't. I mean, that didn't take place, but that's what, you know, you don't want that.
I think Service Master would clean that up.
Because, I mean, it's like you just got to go home and get a glue gun and try to take matters into your own hand.
I got it.
Yeah, your hair looks a lot better now.
Okay,
there you go. Yeah, I just didn't want you to be walking around in public
It's
best just to move on.
Okay.
Split ends, sister.
Ow.
I would suggest that every 6 weeks... Oh, no, you just can't yank that out.
Oh.
Like yanking your hair out in front of me.
I have way too much hair. I'm sorry. Oh, that's just rubbing
it. Hair? I have no hair. So, but here's the thing about this hat.
I am balding. What is this? That looks like a problem.
Ask your doctor about alopecia. Really, your hair is just coming out in chunks.
What the hell is
wrong with that?
It does this every winter.
It's part of Halloween.
Okay, that's not you're shedding your coat. Really, have you thought about having some raw eggs in the morning or something? Or maybe?
It happens.
I don't think. Okay, I don't think that your hair is just supposed to come out in huge fistfuls like that.
Do I look like I'm balding?
Well, I don't know, but you got your headphones on right now, and it's tangly. I'm just saying, I don't think it's natural for your hair to just come out in big fistfuls like that. It's not right.
If you haven't combed it in a few days, then it does.
I think you're making that up.
I'm really not.
It's like at the medical hair restoration office, actually, they get, not surprising, a lot of female clients in there. Because like, if you're a woman and your hair starts to fall out, then that's bad on a whole different scale.
No, I actually, whenever I get my hair cut, I have to have it thinned.
Yeah.
Because I have too much.
Okay.
Anyway.
I don't even know what I was talking about now. I'm just completely... Oh, you know, but...
You have such hair envy.
I do, but you know to. But you know what your hair reminded me of just now? It's like when David Lee Roth was here a couple years ago, and he had, like, a bad weave going on. Not so much a transplant as it was, like, a weave, where they just... Because that's where they take, like, somebody else's hair, right? And they just... They literally just, like, weave it in
I
with
think
your
like
own.
I think, like, they glue it or they braid it up
just,
the
yeah,
top.
They braid it in with your own. And so, the problem with... And I can attest to this. I was talking to my friend Patrick about this the weekend, who used to have the long Sebastian Bach hair and now just has the shaved head. But we were talking about, we were commiserating it like old guys who used to have long hair. And I can attest to this, that the problem with having really long hair, which I did, my hair was like at my waist for many, many years. The problem with cutting it is, for a long time, you forget that you've cut it. And so you are walking around acting as though you have long hair. And David Lee Roth apparently did this when he was at the Roseland a couple years ago, where the guitarist is like busting out some solo. And Roth, who has the really obviously, and I love David Lee Roth, but he's got the, as does everybody at CBS Radio, but he's got the really bad weave, and he like he does that thing where he like whips his head down as though he's like swinging his hair around, comes back up, pushes his hand through his hair from the front all the way to the back, like he's sort of pushing the, like he's pushing the long hair out of his face, and he brings the hands out and just like a bunch of weave all over his hands, just a bunch of big chunks of hair all over his fingers, which is fantastic and terrible. Here's why I can tell that story though. Because I have my own hair issues, as you know. So, I had the thing done a couple weeks ago. And as I've told the story a few times now, where to do the hair transplant, they had to, like, shave, like, the middle of my head. You know, as the guy said, it's like, you know, you have to cut the hair before you can get down to the, you know, what do they say? So that you can't install, like, plumbing or something. You can't install a sprinkler system unless you mow the lawn or some dumb analogy. So I had this terrible reverse mohawk where it was, like, this 6-inch swath down the middle of my head. And so a couple weeks go by, and he's like, after a couple weeks, you can get a haircut, you'll be back to normal. And so on Friday, I was like, ha-ha, it's my last day with the hat. So I go in Saturday to get the haircut. But what I did not realize, but what quickly became apparent is, what they have to do to even it all out is, it's just all of your hair has to go down to that same level. So now I get the all-over buzz cut. So now it's like, now everything looks fine, except my hair is just like all short and whatnot. It looks like I just got it. I look like Matthew Modine in Full Metal Jacket. I totally got the private joker, like I just got out of basic training thing going on in my head.
So when Lycus is in town, are you going to have to go on stage with a hat on?
Totally. Well, because that's like 4 days from now.
Uh-huh.
My hair's not going to, I mean, like, my hair's
I
like
I can bring
half...
you my V for Vendetta Halloween wig. And the mask, too, if you want.
Hello. I'm going to have to do something. Because yeah, otherwise I'm just going to have to go as powder.
That's
the
cool.
For the mask and the wig and the hat.
No, I didn't see anybody with that yet. Well, see? Maybe people will have it tomorrow, but... Mm-hmm.
All right,
I'll bring it with me tomorrow.
Tim Riley's working on the following stories for your edification.
This is kind of strange. Reality show kids are injured by a pumpkin catapult in Hillsboro over the weekend. And, not to repeat, but we have to, an Alabama teen, a trailer park, and his mama all contribute to today's Hick Watch, coming up later in the program. A Florida shooting victim is robbed of his pants while lying in his own blood.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to laugh at that.
Well, now that she's saved African children, Angelina Jolie heads to the Cambodian rainforest.
Okay. Thank God. Thank God for her. All right, I was going to talk about some other stuff, but I think we got a break here because we got, I'll take this one call and then we got a break. We have Bob Costantini coming up at the bottom of the hour. We're heading towards the midterm elections, which will either be a glorious resurrection of the Democratic Party or just a frightful apocalypse for them as they vanish into irrelevance for once and all. So we'll talk about that with Bob Costantini. I'll talk about the Night of the Living Dead stage play later on, which I went to on Saturday, which was the short story. It's pointless to talk about it now because it's gone till next year, but goddamn, it was fantastic. It was really, really amazing, and I had a bunch of listeners there too.
The Broadway comes to Beaverton.
Kevin, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Hey, Rick.
What's up?
So last Friday, you guys were talking about Queen and the song One Man, One Vision. You were wondering which, thought it was in the Highlander movie?
Well, One Vision is from Iron Eagle.
It is from Iron Eagle. The reason that some people get confused, they didn't originally have a Highlander soundtrack. It was released on an album that Queen put out, which was called It's a Kind of Magic.
Right.
And it was all songs from the Queen or from the Highlander movie, except the first and last song on it was One Man, One Vision.
Really? Okay. All right. Yeah. Fair enough. Okay. So I was both right and wrong about that. So there is a sort of unofficial soundtrack.
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
All right, excellent.
And I must say also, I'm a manager. I've taken to telling people that they have all the talent in the world.
And just like Brian, Rick, you've got all of the talent in the world. I see big things for you. All right, thank you, Kevin. All right, there you go. That's Kevin. All right.
People always tell me I'm a fine human being. Then they tell me my job has just come to an end.
You're a fine young man and a great newscaster. You'll have no trouble finding work elsewhere. Goodbye.
I'm going to replace you with my friend who sells me pot.
Let's take a break. It's 503.
Not that that's happened before.
503-733-2297. When we come back, Bob Costantini and the best song you'll hear all week. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Back in a moment. We can talk about your hair falling out, but not that.
We talk about your hair falling out.
My hair didn't fall
Bada
out.
Bing.
Well, it did fall out. Hello. See, that's the irony right now is my scalp looks fine. I mean, relatively speaking. It's just
so
that
is
you
it,
can...
is it...
It's just
shaking?
That you can. It's just that you can sit. Well, because it's got to. It's hard to say because it's got to start from absolute zero. So yeah, my scalp looks fine. It's just my hair is so goddamn short. I mean, really, I like have a full on military boot camp.
All
haircut.
Right, can I see it?
You just want to see it so you can make fun of me.
I don't want to make fun of you. I've never seen you like without any hair though.
It's bad. It really.
All right, well, show
bad.
Me later on.
All right. 503-733-2970. Thank you for coming by. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Coming up later on, CNN Radio correspondent Jim Roop. We'll also have Clyde Lewis going to join us later on. Oh, and Scotty, don't let me forget about this. We have a pair of, it's actually kind of a cool, it's a prize package. We have the final pair, I believe, the final pair of tickets to House of Midnight, and that is coupled with a brand new book from The Onion. It's called Destined for Destiny. It's sort of a pseudo autobiography of George W. Bush. So that is new from The Onion. So that we have together as sort of a pack. So we'll give that away. But we got to figure out some way to do it. It's not just like a caller five thing. So we'll do that later on. Let me forget about that. It's 503-733-2970. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome now from the Hill, CNN Radio correspondent and bundle of frenetic energy, Bob Costantini.
Hello. Frenetic.
Bob, how are you, sir?
Alrighty.
Would you prefer manic?
No, frenetic I think is better.
How about barely controllable?
Barely controllable as we get towards the elections here.
You do sound like you're living on the edge of some sort of... you do sound like you're in a manic phase now, Bob.
I mean, while I'm a big political guy, I enjoy elections, been working hard... Was in inside Meet the Press yesterday, as a matter of fact.
Is that true? The actual Meet the Press?
I was in the studio yesterday.
You know, the Meet the Press is the longest continually running television program in the history of this fine country.
They didn't mention that yesterday, but I believe you.
It's true. Rick Emerson knows these things, Bob Costantini. By the way, I think that for the remainder of the week, you should refer to yourself in the third person.
All right.
I think that's going to be a shortcut to you gaining maybe some of the respect you feel that you need around CNN. You're talking to Laura Caviezel or who, you know, Abe McCarthy, anybody to say, look, Bob Costantini needs the following things, and he needs them now.
Bob Costantini needs a pencil. Let's go.
That's what, see, there you go. That's, see, right there, and you feel how you just, it's like you're having, it's instant gravitas. Just add third-person references, Bob. That's what I'm talking about. All right. Well, we're like eight days away, nine. When is the election? How many days away from now?
We are 8 days away, of course.
8 days away.
Tuesday.
All right. So as it stands right now, there are really only... Here's why, in my opinion, it sucks to be the Democrats. A, because they're useless in a generalized sense. B, because they're typically spineless. C, because there is almost... And I mean this in a figurative sense. It is almost a no-win scenario for the Democrats right now because if the Democrats manage to make significant gains or, God, heaven forfend, they manage to seize control again, it's only not because they're good at anything, but just because the Republicans are inept and mired in scandal and incompetence this year. So
the election is about the Republicans, basically.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, it really is all year. It's just been the Republicans' game to lose. And, I mean, it's got to be a disheartening feeling to be the Democrats and to know that really, you know what it is? It's like playing against the Chicago Bulls in 1998 and just realizing that you basically got to hope that Jordan gets into a car accident on the way to the game. That's kind of what this is. And so if the Democrats win, they know, and we all know, that it's not because they're good at anything, but just because the GOP put their foot in it repeatedly. And if the Democrats don't win, if the Democrats make no gains... They've revealed themselves as completely and totally useless. They're an appendix at that point. Wouldn't you agree?
They
come on.
They will They're having trouble. Sure.
Well, they're having, but I mean, they're going to have more. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the closed door meetings they're going to take place? It seems like, for one thing, it seems like Nancy Pelosi is going to regret a lot of those statements about, like, I'm going to take any office I want. If she doesn't win anything, that's the sort of thing that they will never let you forget. She will wake up when she's 95 years old in a nursing home somewhere with that phrase echoing through her wrinkled head.
I saw a truck here in Washington, one of those trucks that's a rolling billboard kind of thing, has a little flatbed with a billboard on the back of it. And it is a big picture of Nancy Pelosi, and it talks about her being Speaker of the House. I caught a quick glimpse of it on the way to the Capitol today. But a lot of people are trying to bring up this notion that Nancy Pelosi as Speaker is what voters might want to avoid. But it's, you know, I don't think that the voters are going to be thinking about Nancy Pelosi as much as they're going to be thinking about Iraq. I mean, our polling indicates that Iraq is the key issue in this and is helping bring down the president's approval rating, which a new poll has come out today. He's got a 37% job approval rating in a CNN poll.
Is that the lowest it's ever been?
Not quite the lowest. A week ago, it was slightly lower. As a matter of fact,
See, in a weird way, that's kind of, to me, when a president, whoever he is, that's when a president is, you really got to keep an eye on him. Because, A, he's in his, you know, he's in his second term, which means he's, you know, he's term limited. He's not going to do anything once he's out of office. He's at 37%. I mean, I guess you say he's been lower, but it doesn't really.
Yeah.
When you hit 37, it seems like you're down there in the basement. You're in the fruit cellar with Norman Bates' mother. And so that's when you got to keep an eye on a guy, because he doesn't really care. I mean, what does it harm George W. Bush at this point? He could just go out and just start setting fire to puppies in the street. Who cares? It's not going to drive his approval rating down any further. So
I don't suppose he'll do that. But
can never say for sure, Bob.
A Republican pollster I talked to today is, in a sense, realizes that this does not bode well for the House of Representatives. Of course, keeping control of the House of Representatives, he said the Iraq situation has kept the president and the party from articulating their messages about national security and taxes and that kind of thing. And Iraq is just driving all the perceptions of this basic approval rating and also perceptions of the Republican Party as a whole.
All right, so two questions. A, given all of this, given that even a big chunk of the people inside his own party seem to loathe him at this point, why is it that you would be sending, not you, but I mean they, why is it that George W. Bush would be out on the campaign trail on the stump for anybody? It seems like at this point, I mean, that's a little bit that's like being endorsed by Walter Mondale at this point.
Well, he's going to what might be described as very Republican areas. This morning he was in the 12th District of Georgia, which is a rural area along the eastern seaboard there in Georgia between Savannah and university is. But
that place.
So he's there. He's there, and then he is going to Nevada and Montana this week, and he's going to make another stop in Georgia tomorrow. So he's going to places that are solidly Republican, pretty well behind him, where he will receive a warm reception, and where some of the members of Congress, the House members in particular, are not really that afraid to be seen with him.
All right, and secondly, so there's a big question for all the, although we have, you know, as you said, eight days to go. The big question for all the marbles is what is the conventional wisdom about the outcome of this election? Is it big gains for the Democrats, some gains for the Democrats, or do they just fumble it all at the end as they always do?
Well, I have to say the conventional wisdom is that the Democrats could very well take the House of Representatives. The Senate seems a little less likely. That's generally the conventional wisdom. It's hard to say. The Republicans will be playing a lot of the national security issue cards and the taxes cards. The president has talked about that, is talking about those kinds of things himself today, saying less about Iraq, needless to say, at these events, and hoping that some of his appearances might be able to just drag some voters or you know, motivate the base to come out, because obviously get out the vote is key, as it usually is.
Excellent. All right. Oh, by the way, George W. Bush may not set fire to puppies, but I'm watching a lot of Catherine Harris on television right now, and I wouldn't put it past that woman. She's probably got a coat at home made out of children. You can say that I said that. You can write that down.
Oh, Lord.
All right. Thank you. Bob Costantini, my friend. And you are back. You're here again tomorrow, right?
I am here again tomorrow.
I know that you wake up every day glad that you were able to spend another day speaking with us, Bob.
Talk to you then. I look forward to it.
Thank you, sir. This is Bob Costantini, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm starting to feel there's underlying like resentment on both sides right there.
I don't resent Bob at all. You know what it is? I'm having a lot of fun with Bob, and I think we're breaking down the walls.
But you can't make fun of him and call him a fireball right when you let him on, because obviously he knows that you're being sarcastic.
I think he's playing with it though. That's the thing, is I think he's working with it.
I think it's
it.
A matter of time.
I don't until what? What's Bob Costantini going to do?
Well,
with
I think Bob Costantini is going to we're either going to make his life miserable continuously, or else he's going to request. Pat Sinclair style.
They can't just have all of the reporters opt out from speaking to us. The reporters just can't all say that they're not going to speak to Rick Emerson.
He probably could.
Good God. I'm just making friends and influencing people left and right the last week. Everybody loves Rick. Oh, God almighty. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Just trying to light... I think that he knows that he is perhaps not a conventionally exciting reporter. And plus, given the fact that I believe that when the new CNN reporter sort of is on the gig there, I think that they probably give them a little heads up about various radio stations and shows and what the general tone and tenor of a program is. So they probably said, look, that Rick Emerson does a kind of kooky and irreverent radio program. And I think you're wrong about that. I think he's doing the Al Gore Bob Dole thing of embracing his own lack of excitement and pizzazz, which I say with love, Bob. I think he's just embracing the fact that he is a very staid, very straightforward reporter. And he realized he's going to spin that into some gold. That's all I'm saying. All right, let's go.
Scotty J, this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say except...
You're not going to amount to jack squat!
Scotty, please summon him to the studio.
Beam us up, Scotty.
End of message.
Scotty J, hello, sir. How are you today?
Good morning.
You're looking bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
He really is.
Are you wearing a velour shirt?
No.
Okay, you're sure about that?
No, it's nylon.
No, it's shiny.
All right.
It's shiny nylon.
Velour isn't shiny.
Let me ask you, isn't velour...
I thought velour was fuzzy.
Velour is kind of like black velvet, isn't it?
Yeah, that's shiny.
It looks like a black velvet shirt, kind of. Let me ask you this.
I don't wear velour.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to be like up in your fashion grill. Let me ask you this as a side note. What percentage of the clothing you own would you say has Nike or Levi on it? Would you say it's like 80%?
I'd probably say more like 40%, and that's just because I hit those two stores at what are those malls?
Outlet mall?
Yeah. They were side by side.
Of course.
Thank you.
Just do one big pass through the outlet mall a year. That's the Scotty J method. Fantastic. How many watches do you own?
You know, I don't know an exact number. It's probably somewhere in between 6 and 10.
Really?
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive, actually.
But they're not spendy ones, really. They're just...
Do you own a Swatch watch?
Yes, I do.
Does it have multiple faces?
And it's from, like, early 80s, like 81.
It's the real deal? You're holding it down? All right. Okay. Fantastic. What the hell did I even bring you in here for? Because we got a giveaway. I'm just going to tell you, just so you are aware of this, because I want to get this... we will probably do the actual announcement about it at the end of the program, but we're going to take some calls throughout the day today. Now, we're coming up on it, because Halloween was one of those things that just crept up on me this year. It's because it's on a Tuesday or something, and so, like, I haven't even decorated my house yet. So I've decorated the inside, but not the outside. So I got to do that tonight. So we have our final pair of passes for House of Midnight, and that's coupled with this new Onion book, which is called Destined for Destiny. So what we're going to do is we will take phone calls throughout today's program, Scotty J, which you must then track and keep the information for. We'll find the best one at the end of the show, and that person will win a pair of passes to House of Midnight in the new Onion book. So today, we are having people complete the following phrase. Complete the following phrase at 503-733-2970 in honor of Halloween and all things spooky coming up tomorrow. Quote, the closest I ever came to dying was, end quote. So there you go. So that is the phrase you got to complete today. Complete the following sentence. The closest I ever came to dying was at 503-733-2970. We will take those calls kind of throughout the day. And at the end of the program, we'll find the best call. And then that guy wins, whoever it is, wins a pair of passes and the Onion book and so forth.
Do you have an example of something that happened to you or something that spawned this?
No. I was actually just reading it. I was reading an article about it this morning, actually, about this. It wasn't in New York, which is where you sort of think about really tall buildings being. It was like in Cincinnati or something. There was some elevator mishap that happened, I don't know, yesterday morning or sometime over the weekend, where some people were on the 42nd or 44th floor or whatever of a building. The elevator brakes go out, and then they didn't kick back in again to like the fifth floor or something. And so it was some people that plunged like 38 stories. In like 2.5 seconds, or I don't know how long. And I'm no physics major, so I don't know how long it takes. I'll try and find the story and read it. But it was some people, they fell like 35 stories in an elevator in like 2 seconds. Because the deal is that there's some sort of, and I don't even understand how that works, because there's supposed to be some kind of gravity brake that kicks in. Isn't that the thing with those elevators? It's the actual, not centrifugal force, but whatever it is, the actual gravitational force of the falling that is supposed to kick in those brakes. Didn't happen. And so they're just there falling like, however fast, like 96 feet per second or whatever that equation is. And then by the time they hit the fifth floor, they finally kicked in. But I mean, at that point, you're just an elevator full of poo at that point. So, I mean, it's just a whole lot of bad. But they had some quote from one of the guys in the elevator, and he's like, I think this is probably the closest I've ever come to dying. And so I mentally flagged that. So today we want you to finish the following sentence. The closest I ever came to dying was.
Doesn't have to be a true story.
It needs to be a true story. And we'll just sort of take you at your word that it is actually a true story. So we will take those today throughout the program, and at the end of the show, we'll find the best one. It's 503-733-2970. So there you go.
Sounds good. And
by the way, would you like to share with everybody else what you and Mrs. J did this weekend?
Oh, well, we went out. We went out on Sunday.
Hey, you can't do this. You can't tell me stories in the kitchen.
Please tell
and
me
then just
like Ace of Hearts.
No. Oh, I got an email from those guys the other day. Did I mention that? I got an email from those guys. Rick, I have heard you mentioning, I have mentioned Ace of Hearts, which is some sort of a
swingers club.
They should be a paid advertiser.
Yes, that's exactly what they should do. It's hard to believe you're not in sales. Attention. Yeah. Anywho, no, because I always use those guys as a landmark, regrettably, for where I live. And I try, and I'm always like, I'm by that, by the Safeway, and there's the Mr. Gas pumping station there. And people are like, oh, yeah, Ace of Hearts, woo! But I got an email from them the other day, and I guess whoever manages that place is like, I've heard you talking about our establishment frequently on the air. You should come by, maybe do a show from here. Which is alternately sort of interesting and horrifying. They did not go, but this was you and a gang. Am I right about this? That the weekend climaxed with you and Mrs. J in a gangster costume singing karaoke to an empty bar somewhere in Vancouver?
Yeah, she was a flapper girl, and we went with another couple, and me and this guy, his name was Mr. Big Mike, and my name was Scotty Jangster. And
why did you decide to go as gangsters this weekend?
Oh, it's kind of his idea, because he found the perfect suit, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so he just
in Vancouver,
somewhere in the Couve, and he built this.
So it's just the four of you roaming around Vancouver dressed as gangsters for no readily apparent reason, and then singing karaoke in an empty bar.
Yes.
What is your karaoke song of choice, please?
Well, they called me up, and then the bar just cleared out again. This happens to me everywhere I go.
That's hard to imagine. that's so great. Scotty J. People stand at the door like roaches.
So I'm like, all
fantastic.
Right. You know, and I yell, drinks are on me. You know, everybody's gone, right? And then these two gals that were hiding behind a wall that I couldn't see, you know, peek their head around. They go, all right. Right, so I'm like, I thought this place was clear, so.
Okay, so but you're getting away from the issue. What is your karaoke song of choice, Scotty J?
Well,
let me guess. Do you have a go-to karaoke song?
A couple of them, yeah.
A couple.
I would go with Journey, Don't Stop Believin'.
Okay.
Is it by a group or a single performer, a single singer?
Groups.
Is it something by Kool and the Gang?
No.
Is it something by Casey and the Sunshine Band?
I have done I'm Your Boogeyman,
but we're talking about your go-to, your default karaoke song.
Go-to, believe it or not, is Little River Band.
Jesus
and
Christ.
I did Steely Dan the other night, too.
Okay, Black Oak, Arkansas.
Yeah,
I'm going to send me some Blackfoot. All right, yeah, okay. Thank you, Scott.
Yeah, that was fun.
All right, there you go, kids. All right, it's 503-733-2970. If they want to take a break here, we'll come back with Tim Riley. Oh, real quickly, though, before we do that, and I'm going to play, I'll play us into the break here. Two things. A, I want to thank the guys at the Blue Monkey Theater Group, which is we had that John Monteverde guy on Friday who directed the stage play of Night of the Living Dead, which was fantastic, by the way. away. It doesn't matter. You can't go see it now. It's closed. Saturday was the final night. But I got to tell you, Matt, it was creepy. It was really, really unnerving. Because the guy was talking about kind of breaking the fourth wall. I didn't know what they meant by that. So Lara and I are there. And the guys from Lopez were there, by the way, too, if you know that band. But so we're sitting there in the audience, and they're, you know, it's so great because they had a video screen, and they were going back and forth between pre-taped video interstitial segments. Like whenever the characters would watch a report about the zombie invasion on TV, they would actually have it projected overhead. But then they were acting out the exact script from George Romero's 1968 Night of the Living Dead on stage. But the great thing was, the entire time you're watching, and it's impossible to convey how creepy this was, the entire time you're watching this on stage, play this production, which they're playing totally straight, by the way, not doing it for kitsch, not doing it for camp, not doing it for gags or laughs. The entire time they're doing this Night of the Living Dead production, they have a bunch of deformed, like bloody lurching zombies just wandering around the theater. So you're sitting there in the crowd, and there's like zombies walking up and down the aisle. Like occasionally they would sort of be walking through the aisles where you're sitting and sort of bumping into you, and then just like turning around and walking off again. And it just like here at like noon on a Monday, it doesn't sound creepy at all. It was completely terrifying at the theater. So it's not going to be back again until next year, but you get a chance to see it next year. There's not a Living Dead play. You got to see it. It's genius. Let's take a break here. I'm going to play a little something here. Sarah and I were talking about this on Friday, this new My Chemical Romance CD, which is called The Black Parade, which is not perfect, but which is pretty damn good. It's got some really powerful moments on it. So I'm going to play a little thing here. It's probably the best song you'll hear all week. It's kind of equal parts T-Rex, Marilyn Manson, Alice Cooper, and, Green Day. We'll play this here. We'll come back with Tim Riley at the AM 970 Noon News Desk from the Ministry of Truth. This is My Chemical Romance. This is called Teenagers. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Don't go anywhere. Back after this.
It's gonna clean up your looks with all the lies in the books to make a citizen out of you, because they sleep with a gun and keep an eye on you, son, so they can watch all the things you do. Because the drugs never work, they're gonna give you a smirk, 'cause they got methods of keeping you.